Welcome to 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. I'm your host, Peter Anderson. For the past few weeks, we have focused on what it means for Christians as individuals and congregations to be peculiar, different, distinctive, special, set apart. This week, we will take a pause and replay some episodes from the past. Today, we replay episode 96 from March 2021, A Man After God's Own Heart, Part 1, part of our series, 50 Books in 50 Weeks.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outcry, and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God also in Christ forgave you. Be, therefore, imitators of God, as beloved children. Walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us.
These are the words of Paul writing to the Ephesians, first in Ephesians 4 verses 31 to 32, and then Ephesians 5 verses 1 to 2. You have a heart like mine. Can you think of a higher compliment God could give a human being? But who can have a heart like God? In Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, Moses tells us that he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. In Psalm 18, verse 30, David writes, "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him." God himself declares in Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We see perfection in his character, word, and actions. So is it possible for flawed, fallible, fallen man to have a heart like God? And yet, despite the perfection of God's nature and his exalted traits, God says that David, the shepherd boy who becomes a warrior king, is a man after his heart. Today, we will begin to explore reasons why God so credits David, a man with egregious and public sins.
David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?"
Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him,
"Are you Ziba?"
"Your servant,"
he replied. The king asked,
"Is there no one still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?"
Ziba answered the king,
"There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet."
"Where is he?"
the king asked. Ziba answered,
"He is at the house of Machir son of Amiel in Lodebar."
So King David had him brought from Lodebar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said,
"Mephibosheth!"
"Your servant,"
he replied.
"Don't be afraid,"
David said to him,
"for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table."
Mephibosheth bowed down and said,
"What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?"
Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him,
"I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table."
Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king,
"Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do."
So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons.
In his humanity, David has no kindness to offer Saul or his house. Saul made his life miserable. But it is not his kindness that David intends to demonstrate to Mephibosheth, the crippled son of his friend Jonathan. It is the kindness of God that he seeks to give away. God is love. And 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 tells us that love is kind. Galatians 5 verse 22 affirms that kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Even when others mistreat us, God will enable us to be kind through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And so David asks, "Is there anyone remaining in the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness? Not my kindness, but the kindness of God." Like David, if we are to be imitators of God, if we would have hearts like that of God, we must likewise be instruments of God's kindness. Jesus tells us in Luke 6, verse 35, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil." While we were sinners and did not deserve the kindness of God, Jesus died for us. And so now that we have received his kindness, we can give it away. Psalm 145, verse 13 tells us that the Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Joshua 21, verse 45 says that not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Hebrews 10, verse 23 reminds us that he who promised is faithful. Likewise, David is a promise keeper. In 1 Samuel 18 and 20, David promises Jonathan that he will not cut off his love from the house of Saul once Jonathan is gone. David remembers his covenant when he tells Mephibosheth, in 2 Samuel 9, verse 7, that he's extending kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. When Mephibosheth arrives in David's court, he is scared. To eliminate a potential challenge to his reign, it would have been reasonable to expect that David would want this remaining member of the house of Saul to be put to death. However, David reassures the young man. He not only spares his life, but promises to restore the land of Saul to him and let him eat at the king's table forever. This is a picture of God's love for us. We sinful humans are the crippled man in the story. God has not only restored us from the judgment that we deserve, he has invited us to his banqueting table and to be part of his family forever. David shows grace just as God showed grace to us. We are called to show grace to others. David is busy. He does not need another task to add to his important list of kingly duties. He is thoughtful. He remembers he has a responsibility to give. He demonstrates a proactive love, searching out Mephibosheth on his own in the same way that Jesus seeks and saves. 2 Samuel 9 verse 11 says that Mephibosheth eats at David's table like one of the king's sons. David has no agenda but love. The crippled man has nothing to offer, yet he's treated like a part of the family. God treats us not as enemies, not as strangers, not even as guests, but similarly as adopted members of his family. Who does God want you to seek out and help? Of all the hearts in the world, I've only one to give. So insecure, a desperate pulse racing to your embrace, that you could want me and see. More than words could ever say, that you would love me and see in me a pearl of brightness thrown away. A heart like mine, how could it be worthy that you find a way to redeem this hardened clay, twisted and broken. David is an imperfect man. As we will explore further this week in 2 Samuel, he falls into sin. We too are imperfect and often we fall short, but Jesus is perfect. He's the one we follow. And the heart that we want is not that of David, it is God's heart we crave. Father, guide our thoughts, strengthen our faith, and order our steps so that we too may be called men and women after your own heart. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.